Welcome, dear friends. I hope your week went well, and I pray that you and your loved ones are all safe and healthy. Know that I think of you always, and my prayers are with you always as well. And on that note, let's open our service of worship today with a word of prayer. Dearest Lord, we confess that we are weary, and it seems that each day there is a new and unexpected challenge, with too often grief upon grief. And so we ask that you feed us this day with your truth and your wisdom. Strengthen us and open our minds and our hearts to truly hear you. Give us the desire and the strength to follow wherever you lead, even as you shape and prepare us for what lies ahead. May we be faithful to you in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power.
Is our refuge, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations he's brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Well, do you ever wake up in the morning hoping that somehow this past 10 months was all just really a bad dream? If so, I don't think you're alone. We're all trying to make sense of all that's going on, even as most of us are exhausted and feeling pushed to our limits. I've heard many drawing comparisons to 9/11 lately, a time that shocked us all, but with one very important difference. 9/11 was an attack by outsiders, and at least for a while, it united us all. And across our many differences, we stood together. But what has been particularly sobering and heartbreaking about both the pandemic and the recently attempted coup is that the battle has been within our country, pitting citizens against each other, fueled by lies and misinformation, and too often bringing out the worst in us instead of the best. And the big question is, how do we get past this and become truly united? Well, I guess it starts by understanding that our worst behavior comes out of our fears, and that fear gets us nowhere. Sadly, science and history show that human nature is destruction. Fighting and war tends to be our first response to fear. And it's like that old rhyme, when in danger, when in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout. This old rhyme is not advice, says author Philip A. Parham. It's a description of what we generally do when we're fearful and confused. We know it's futile, but we do it anyway. And as Zach Norris reminds us, threats, both real and imagined, can be used to manipulate us. It turns out that invoking safety, which inevitably means invoking threats to our safety, is an effective way to trigger automatic, irrational anxiety responses. And the mere whiff of danger whips people up into a state of panic and sends us into this automatic fight or flight response, because our brains are finely tuned threat detection devices. We're literally wired to pay attention to any hint of danger. And those threat detection and analysis processes in our brain happen mostly unconsciously and automatically without the input of our rational brains. And this makes us super susceptible to inflammatory rhetoric that magnifies uncertainties, risks, and threats. And when we are stressed out already, with challenge upon challenge, loss upon loss, well, we become even more vulnerable. Barry Glassner, the sociologist who authored the 1999 bestseller, The Culture of Fear, notes that when people in power trigger anxieties and then promise a plan for safety, many are likely to embrace the plan, no matter the consequences. And sadly, history shows that we have an ingrained us versus them culture that goes back to the very beginning of our country and the original conflicts with Native Americans. Well, the good news is it does not have to be that way. As Zach Norris points out, there are two ways to think about safety. There's a fear-based way and a care-based way. For the fear-based model, architects of anxiety cultivate and stoke the us versus them mindset based on a zero-sum mentality around the idea of scarcity, that there's not enough of the good stuff for everyone. But the care-based approach asks, how do we care for ourselves and each other so that all can be safe? And a culture of care prevents many harms from happening in the first place as we work to look out for each other. If you think about it, that care-based approach has really been at the heart of what we do at Oxford Second. A wonderful example of this, of course, is Family Promise. Not only finding caring ways to help homeless families get back on their feet, but also working hard to prevent the homelessness to begin with. That care-based approach is also the reason that we started the Widow's Mite Fund, offering us a way that we can kind of help out where we're able, those who've been hit by hard times. And the list goes on, with a goal of being God's hands and God's feet in the world, recognizing that we have our differences, none of us are perfect, but that we can find ways to work together and to care for each other across those differences. And we get past our fears by never forgetting that. See, God truly is our refuge and our strength and an ever-present help in trouble. But Psalm 46 doesn't stop there. It also reminds us that we can do something specific to help weather the storm. And it's simple. Be still and know that I am God, the scripture says. Be still. Now, granted, being still can be hard when the adrenaline is flowing and we're upset, we're angry, we feel like our power is being taken away, we feel we have to stand up for ourselves and do something now. And frankly, that, my friends, is where we can make our biggest mistakes, our most harmful mistakes ever. I don't know about you, but as I look back on my past, my most shameful moments that still come back to haunt me have been those times when I impulsively acted convinced that I was being strong. Those moments when I've been mentally acting out on variations of that poem, run in circles, scream and shout. And the greatest gift to me was coming to a point of understanding the power of simply being still in turbulent situations instead of reacting impulsively. Turning point for me was actually making a rule for myself and putting it into practice after seeing all the ways that my impulses had done harm. I realized I had to have a plan in advance. I had to know what I was going to do before the stressful thing happened. And so I literally require myself to basically take a time out when I feel my emotions start to surge. I physically remove myself from the situation if possible, and I take time to be still with God and to seek God's direction. And you know what? It makes all the difference. And it's something that we can all do if we choose. Now, it's no accident that the Navy actually has a custom known as the still. And in cases of sudden disaster aboard ship, the call for the still is blown. This is a whistle for the crew to come to complete silence. When the still is blown, every man aboard knows what it means. It means prepare to do the right thing. This moment of calm has apparently helped avoid many catastrophes that running in circles, screaming, shouting could cause. Well, my friends, if you and I truly do want peace on earth and really do want to end the divisions between us, we all need to take time and to be still with God and not respond in kind. We need to take time to listen to where God is leading. I mean, consider how throughout history, sadly, Christians in their zeal have too often been the problem, too often falsely using their supposed faith to justify what serves them and not what really serves God. Finding that place of stillness can actually turn your life around. When we're afraid and we wonder where in the world we will be safe, we need more than ever to be still and to remember that God is here with us, our refuge and our strength. I want to close with one final memory. Back in 1968, the day before the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated, he preached what would be his final sermon. He said, "Men for years now have been talking about war and peace, but now no longer can they just talk about it. It's no longer a choice between violence and nonviolence. In this world, it's nonviolence or non-existence." Think about that. Nonviolence or non-existence. And it's coming to that. He went on to share a story that I've shared with you before, but I don't think can be repeated enough. He said, "Now, what does all of this mean in this great period of history? It means that we've got to stay together. We've got to stay together and maintain unity. You know, whenever Pharaoh wanted to prolong that period of slavery in Egypt, he had a favorite formula for doing it. And what was that? He kept the slaves fighting among themselves. But whenever the slaves got together, something happens in Pharaoh's court, and he cannot hold the slaves in slavery. When the slaves get together, that's the beginning of getting out of slavery. Now let us maintain unity." And that's where we are today, friends. We are those slaves, and we can only break free by joining together and by refusing to let the powers divide us. So let us trust in God as our fortress and our protector. Not that God will make life easy, but we can trust that God loves us and will see us through all adversity in whatever form. Let us commit to living as children of God, not responding in kind, but truly loving and caring for others as ourselves. And let us navigate the challenges we face by always first being still in God, not conforming to the ways of this world, but prayerfully seeking God's truth and God's wisdom in all we do. Let us pray. God of mercy, whose presence sustains us in every circumstance, in the midst of violence and the struggle and loss of a pandemic, we seek the grounding power of your love and compassion. Forgive us for the ways that we fail you, for the ways we live counter to what we say we believe. Gracious God, bring us clarity and light in this dark time. Remind us in our despair that you are our strength and our refuge. And as our daily worries make us anxious and stressed, remind us that in you we find our peace. When we struggle in our brokenness, remind us that we are your children, fearfully and wonderfully made. Help us to embody righteousness for our country. Help us to embody a beloved community in a day when justice is a reality for all your people. Inspire us by the power of your Spirit to help those who've been marginalized and forgotten. Give us ears to hear their cries and hearts that move us to respond. Dearest Lord, we remember the warnings of Jesus about violence begetting violence. Save us from further acts of violence and division. Save us from mistrust and chaos and wrongdoing. Hear our prayers for peace during this time of transitions in our nation's leadership. Grant all of our elected leaders wisdom and patience and the courage to work together for the common good and to restore a spirit of partnership among us all. May the coming days be ruled by truth, by goodness, by compassion, and by integrity. O God, our help in times of trouble, we continue to pray for all the world as it struggles with an ever-worsening pandemic. We pray that you would help us all to exercise self-discipline and to do what is needed to protect us all. We pray especially for all those hit hardest by this pandemic in so many ways, and for those in power as they navigate ways to help bring this to an end. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. My friends, the evil in this world is real, but we don't have to contribute to it. We need to keep our focus on God during this difficult time. We need to take that time to be still and not respond in kind. We need to be faithful, even as God will always be faithful to us. And now may you go in God's love, God's strength, and God's mercy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. And God bless you.